All right, our morning devotional from Andrea Palnasik's devotional for teenagers off her website, andreapalnasik.com, the Luke Project. We're up to day three now, and we're going to hear from Andrea. I'll give you the scripture, and she'll take it from there. All right, so today is, again, this whole week in Advent's about hope. Day three, fearing and questioning, Luke 1, 11 through 13. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." Andrea?
Angels are formidable beings, large creatures encompassed with light. They are said to be surrounded by the glory of God. Throughout the biblical narrative, the angels comfort their hearers after their arrival with words like, "Don't be afraid." It would be natural for Zechariah to be in awe or to fear the creature that stood before him. It would be even more natural for him to ask questions like, "How can this be?" Zechariah did both of these things. He was struck with awe by the sight of Gabriel and questioned how the things that Gabriel was saying could possibly come true. Zechariah was old, and I'm sure he thought it was preposterous that he and Elizabeth could have a baby. The angel was recounting the miraculous. He was telling Zechariah that not only would his dream of being a father come true, but that his son would make a way for the coming king. The very entity that Zechariah had studied, worshipped, and led others to follow would be coming soon. His own son would prophesy of the coming Savior of Israel and the world. Zechariah asks, "How can you be sure?" Gabriel responds, "Because I hang out with God and he told me." Gabriel concludes by saying, "Because you question my authority, you'll be silenced for a time until your boy is born." What do modern-day angels look like? What kind of sign do you need to believe that God is coming?
I can remember a couple of different times over the many years I got the privilege of hosting a talk show here on WIB, and we talked about angels and, people getting people's stories or experiences. Amazing how many different accounts people have in terms of saying, "I think I might have had an experience with an angel." Anyhow, Andrea Palnasik sharing with us from her My Wish for Christmas teen. It's available at our website, half price for just $5 right now. If you want to check out that and some of the other great books that she's got, AndreaPalnasik.com. Palnasik, kind of a challenging to spell. P-O-L-N-A-S-Z-E-K.
We are joined by Dean Bertram, the director, the founder of the God Country Family Film Festival, which is at Micon Cinemas downtown in Eau Claire this Friday through Sunday. Good morning, Dean. Great to have you on the WIB Wake Up Show.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. So let's start off with the founding of this festival, which is in just its second year. Can you tell me how the vision of this started?
Sure. I've always been interested in starting a Christian film festival. I have a background in running more secular festivals, but as a Christian, it's something I thought would be, important to do. And actually, Connie Olson, the owner of Micon, was just chatting to me one day, and she actually just happened to say, "Would you be interested in starting a Christian film festival here?" And it seemed this fortuitous or, fantastic kind of coincidence, or maybe more, because it's something that had been ruminating in the back of my head. So I just jumped on the opportunity. I was so grateful to meet an owner of a cinema who was interested in doing something like this.
Talk about the range of movies that are going to be accessible to people Friday through Sunday at the Micon downtown at Eau Claire this weekend.
Oh, there's a large range. We have everything from documentaries about veterans with service animals and documentaries about, for example, the priest who started the, as you're probably aware of the saying, the family that prays together stays together, and another wonderful documentary about a Midwestern faith-based band, which is made up by a wife and a husband, and they're a kind of intimate look into their life and how they write songs. And then we've got, bigger type films which would appeal to people who love movies, like, for example, God's Not Dead. So we have a wonderful film called Freshman Year, which is about the kind of challenges which college students face in trying to hold on to their faith and, battling back against the secular temptations of life in the college world. We have a wonderful film starring Kevin Sorbo, who's a big fan favorite of people who are interested in faith films, again from films like God's Not Dead. That's a film called The Reliant, and it's about an economic collapse and how a small family have to hold on to their Christian and faith to try to guide them through that. So, and there's a lot of short films covering, you know, various faith-based issues, and which are all incredibly inspiring. So I'd encourage anybody to look at the actual program. GodCountryFamily.net is the website, GodCountryFamily.net, because they can see the wide range of films which we're screening this weekend.
Again, it's December 6th through 8th at Micon Cinemas downtown. We'll be back with Dean Bertram from the God Country Family Christian Film Festival right after this.
So we're talking with Dean this morning. He is part of the God Country Family Christian Film Festival that's taking place this weekend at Micon Cinema. Dean, I'm on your website right now. It's godcountryfamily.net. And I'm looking, and I mean, just a tremendous, you were talking a bit about the films, but I'm actually seeing 14 films listed. That's amazing that you were able to compile these and get these out to folks.
Oh yeah, I mean it's such a joy to watch the films as they come in as well. We have a submission process, so we receive an awful lot of films from Christian filmmakers, and it's just such a joy to see that people out there are actually making films about issues of faith and issues of family and issues of patriotism. So it's wonderful to see such uplifting films in an environment today where we don't often see that in so much of the popular culture.
I think the technology available to filmmakers has kind of leveled the playing field, right? Like, the world is flat in terms of, just like we've seen with people with podcasts. I mean, the tools are there for people who've thought in the past, like, oh, that's something that's just too far off from me.
Oh, absolutely. I think digital democratization, I guess for lack of a better term, has really allowed people to enter the kind of the filmmaking landscape who mightn't have been able to afford the funds to access it. But today, too, we have larger films with bigger budgets being made in the Christian space as well. Like, we're all aware of the Kendricks Brothers films, or movies like One, God's Not Dead, or movies like I Can Only Imagine. And we have some larger films like that in the festival as well. For example, I mentioned Freshman Year and The Reliant before. They're both bigger budget films, which is screening this year.
Dean Bertram, director and founder of the God Country Family Christian Film Festival, December 6th through 8th. That's this Friday through Sunday at Micon Cinemas, downtown Chippewa Falls. Dean, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and we hope lots of folks will go out and support this film festival, these movies. I know we're giving away free tickets for it to be of service here at the station if folks want to come by and pick them up. So wishing you all the best and a lot of success with this film festival. Thank you for undertaking this great endeavor.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show, and thank you so much for the help from the station there. We really appreciate it.
I feel that this is skating into a gray area. Police last week discovered an open door at the Honey Baked Ham store in St. Louis. It's suburban of St. Louis area. And when it searched the building, the burglar left a note and a sum of cash. The note read this: "Happy Thanksgiving. No one was here, and we were in desperate need of pies. Left money, took pies. Thanks." Okay, here's my question. Is it truly a theft if they paid for that? Like,
isn't
it
still
but
breaking
it
and entering?
But
if you
was the door unlocked? Did
yeah,
they
right.
break and enter? I'm so confused. Was this an accident? Okay, because I'm going to be honest. We were in St. Louis last March and shopping in a little cutesy town, St. Charles, adorable little town. And there's all kinds of little gifty shops on their little main drag there. And we're going from shop to shop to shop, and it's a little off time, but whatever. Most of them are open. Get to the next one, open the door, you know, open door, through door, closed door. And we start looking around in the shop, and it's kind of dark, but it was a sunny day, so there's sun coming in. And then we notice, like no one's here. Like, no one is around.
There was no gone fishing sign
there
on the door.
There was no nothing on the door. The lights were actually off. We were just catching sunlight through the windows. And suddenly it's like, no one's, I don't think they're open.
I called on an accountant. I was going to drop off a quote for ink and toner last week. And I was, for several minutes, like, the lights were on. Nobody.
It's super awkward because I've done that before, too. You know, I walked into a dentist's office down in Osseo the other day. And they're like, I could hear things in the back.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, like, enter a room where there's a patient being
patient
tended
care.
To. And I waited. And again, past the point of embarrassment.
Yeah.
And then eventually, like, another patient comes in.
Yeah.
And she's looking at me and I'm looking at her. And it's kind of like, I don't know what I'm doing here either. Like,
awkward.
We're just, there's no one there. So eventually, here's the thing. I faked getting a phone call and left.
Oh, funny.
Because it was like, I don't really know what to do at this point. You
like
don't want to, like, start banging on the counter.
Right. And in this gift shop, like, there were things that, like, my kids wanted to buy, and I had cash. And I'm like, do we just, like, leave cash and extra? And but no, because I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Was the door unlocked? And This is a gray area, friends. This is a great
the challenge
area.
Of business, right? I mean, you never know when nature calls or duty calls.
Well, and so like we went to the shop the next door over, and I mentioned to them because I was like, "Yeah, I don't need to be on someone's surveillance footage,"
right.
You know. So, and they texted the owner, and they're like, "Oh, they must have forgotten to lock up." I think they did.
I don't know if I lived in St. Louis or ran a business there. I'm not sure that I would forget to lock up.
I know, right? Oh, good. Well, at least they paid for the pies. Sometimes you just need pie.
That takes a certain kind of boldness, I think.
All right, WWIB, and came across a story today regarding millennials and perks and benefits. And it's 20 of the best job perks and benefits millennials have that their parents didn't. Now, it's kind of interesting because... Well, hold it. Mom and dad, a lot of them had a pension.
Right?
They actually have the hope
There's
of collecting
that.
Their Social Security.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, I mean, like my dad and his brothers, like would find a company and stay there for...
Oh, yeah, because of
the gold
pension.
Watch
yeah.
and all that. And there's a lot of perks. I mean, four-day work weeks. I mean, Google and some of the companies have been highlighted. Nap time. Did you know that NASA, Samsung, Google, and Huffington Post have nap pods for sleeping breaks?
I love that.
I know.
I've advocated for a long time that the siesta should not just be something for our friends in Mexico. It should be here as well.
Absolutely.
There is student loan repayment programs. Paid paternity leave has become more common. Expanded parental programs, including money towards adoption. But this is a unique one here. It's called fraternity leave.
Oh, no.
Oh,
Various companies have introduced pet leave or fraternity leave to employees so new pet parents can work from home.
I mean, I guess as long as you're working.
Some companies also allow bereavement time after losing a pet.
Okay.
One pet care company offers flexible working and says that can extend to paternity as well as pet bereavement.
Oh, my.
Well,
I mean, I have a lot of pets. I could take so much fraternity time. I got a lot of pets. Well,
but what if you become one of those cat ladies and it's just like, man,
I'm not one of those cat ladies. I'm just one of those animal ladies. Are you kidding me?
Couldn't you just keep collecting cats, more and more cats?
No, we got two cats, two guinea pigs, a dog, and
now for your whole marriage. Correct me if I'm wrong. For your whole marriage to Dean, you never had a dog until recently.
Correct.
Now, almost daily, including just moments before we cracked these mics, you showed me a picture of your dog.
Yes.
It's almost daily.
I love him. I love him.
So how did you make it all those years without a pooch?
It was hard. I'm not going to lie. When my kids were trying to talk us into this, and Dean and I are like united front, and I'm like, we're 50% convinced. And my kids thought that meant that I was halfway there and Dean was halfway there. No. What that meant is... Mom wanted a dog, but we're a united front, so we're saying no because it's 50-50. Yeah, Dean's he's struggling to adapt to life with a dog. Yeah.
They wore you down with the essay, right?
Yeah, pull out the essay, Alyssa, and then, yeah. Hey,
we got a musical surprise coming up after the 8:30 weather. You don't want to miss it. Stick around. We love to tie in this day in history, and today we go back to December 4th, 1956, and... The so-called Million Dollar Quartet, it was an impromptu jam session that took place at Sun Studios in Memphis. I mean, these are some heavyweights, okay? It started off a guy named Carl Perkins, best known for Blue Suede Shoes. He's in there. And all of a sudden, this kind of an unknown at the time guy by the name of Jerry Lee Lewis in. Next thing you know, a 21-year-old up-and-comer drops by with his girlfriend to pay a visit. You've heard of Elvis Presley.
Wow.
And then Johnny Cash drops in. He's also with Sun Records.
Man.
You guys are going to love this. Give this a listen.
Just a little talk with Jesus. Remember that? I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Well, then a little light from heaven filled my soul.
Wow.
You can recognize so many iconic voices.
Yes.
Good gracious. Well, just a little
talk with my Jesus gonna make it right.
The talent. They're just.
They could have sung anything. That's what they sang, you know?
Wow.
Impromptu.
See, this is a Legacy 5 song as well, too, right? I think that's why I've heard the Before and Clean Country as well.
Yeah.
It's a great Southern gospel song.
me have doubts and fears, your eyes be filled with tears. Oh, now my Jesus is a friend who watches day and night.
Wow.
Name above and he made my heart low. Well, just a little talk with my Jesus gonna make it right.
What year was this?
1956, on this very day.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a! I'm glad someone turned on the.
I know.
Glad someone hit record. Wow. Very cool.
So, a little musical surprise. That I'm going to wait. All right. So, I don't have the actual audio of this, but an hour ago we did a segment, 7:45, and it'll probably be in the podcast, right? And whatever we were talking about. It reached a point in the segment, Hillary, where you said, all right, I'm going to be honest.
Yes.
Now, I got to say, Caleb and I have worked with you. We know you. You are honest.
I am.
You don't need to say, but I just wonder, like, people do get bent out of shape with that sometimes. And I've heard that either privately or even on the radio, or people will be like, oh, don't say that because when you say that, it's suggesting the rest of the time you're not being honest.
Yeah, and I find that interesting because I completely understand what you're saying. I think for me, it's more a matter of when I say that, it means like, okay, now I'm going to like really pull back the curtain.
Sure, I agree.
You know what I mean? It's just I'm really pulling back the curtain.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, I think that's what that means. Because are we really honest? Because there is this veil that we keep.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
It's sort of this frankness, you know, TBH, and then you just say whatever is on your mind.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I've been corrected on it in the years ago. Uh-huh. Somebody did. And I think I hear occasionally people bringing that point. But I feel like what you're saying, like you are honest, but it's, I'm going the extra mile.
To
another level of deeper honesty.
This is vulnerability.
It's like the seven levels of the candy cane forest, but instead it's the honest. Well, I mean, but here's the thing. Like, from the other side, for instance, if you see Honest Ed's used cars, right away I'm thinking that Ed ain't too honest.
Oh, my goodness.
Again, let them know you by your deeds, I guess.
No, I think that's interesting that, I hadn't really. But, I think when I say I'm going to be honest, it's not that I'm not honest. It's that, okay, no, I'm
going
really
deeper.
Bear off.
Yes.
I'm going deeper here. We're getting real.
Yeah.
Pulling back the curtain.
There you go.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.